Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Robin Walter Show here, part of the Red Sky Radio Network. God bless you today. You know what? I wish I had the James Brown song queued in here. I feel good. It's used a lot, and I don't actually have it as one on my playlist. But I feel good, except I changed the song today to I Feel Better. I have been sick for a week. And I did get this medication that's I hate medication, but I got some that's helping me. And I'm sorry if I am a little less enthusiastic sounding. It's as strong and as loud as I can go without probably coughing. But praise God, I'm able to do the program. And this is the first day in 5 or 6 days I've been able to do that. So I thank the Lord for that. And every time I'm healed of something, I come away with three thoughts. Number one, God is good. Number two, God is really good. And number three, God's not done with me yet. If I've been restored, then he's not done with me. Praise God. I want to start with some good news here today. And if anybody desires to contact me, you certainly may at redskyradio777 at gmail.com. redskyradio777 at gmail.com. Two pieces I want to launch with here today, and I'm excited about some of this stuff more than maybe I sound like, because if I get too loud or particularly too fast, that's when my cough resurrects, and look out. The first one is, though, that what a difference Donald Trump's mere presence on the scene and the inevitability of his taking office, the changes. Now, I've talked about this before, but this particular story from yesterday really, really struck me, and it dealt with the fact that the Senate has just passed their version of the defense appropriation bill, which includes a ban on tranny care, or alleged tranny care. They're called gender affirming. Well, it's gender destroying, but whatever. But it includes a ban on tranny care for the alleged tranny children of military personnel. In other words, the defense bill that the Senate has passed will prohibit gender mutilation and, you know, breast removal and all of those kinds of things that go on in the wicked world of trying to change people's sex. And so, but the question is, so why is this amazing? For number one, who controls the Senate? Who passed this bill? Democrats control the Senate. The Democrats control the Senate where this bill passed. If there was ever a red flag to them, they got all sorts of red flag warnings, which is anything that would deal with some Christian influence. But they've supported bodily mutilations of minors for years. So why would they do this? I think they saw what happened on November 5th to some of their colleagues and concluded, all right, we're done with this gig. We've got to be able to say that we actually voted for something that conservatives would support, even if they're not there genuinely, and most of them are not. But the fact that they voted for this, I think, reflects the fact that there's a new sheriff in town, or the new sheriff is coming to town in 1 month. And with the election results, they say, you know what? Some of our colleagues, their derriere got kicked to the curb in this last election for taking these super woke positions. We want to stay in office. And so there you go. This next piece, I think, is an example of what I teach and preach all the time. And that is everything in Scripture is for the present and for the future days. Past is prologue. The parameters of what God has covered in all of His Word are there and established as a direction and a guide to what is coming our way now or in the future. In other words, it's all relevant. And I could not believe this particular story. I was thrilled. I laughed. The praise be to God. I'm going to give you a clue where this is going to come from. If you got a chance, you might want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 5, which I will read us a small portion of in just a moment. But in the state of New Hampshire, based on First Amendment rights, so alleged, that there is a statue in front of the New Hampshire State House of Representatives of a pagan deity called Baphomet. It was erected there by the Satanic Temple. Okay, that's been there. I remember covering this a while back when they got the right to do it, and I thought, goodness sakes, how could God not judge New Hampshire allowing this? Well, people in New Hampshire were opposed to it, but some left-wing court allowed them to do it under a First Amendment basis. And then there was something very different that happened, is that the other day, another group under the First Amendment put up a nativity scene. All right, I'm going to stop right there. So you got Baphomet's up first, and then there's a day where the nativity scene is erected. So I'm going to read to you here from 1 Samuel chapter 5. It says, "And the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod." So this is when the Philistines have kind of beat the daylights out of the Hebrews. And they are rejoicing. They believe their God has delivered the Israelites into their hands. And so their degree of idol worship, pagan worship, went up a notch or two as a result thereof. But it says in verse 2 that when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. That's their deity. That's their pagan deity, which in this thing, as far as I'm concerned, this is Baphomet in New Hampshire. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So Dagon has fallen over mysteriously in the middle of the night, but he's fallen over as the under the ark. In other words, as though he's had to yield and give worship to the true living God. And they took Dagon and set him up in this place again. And when they arose early on the next morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground again before the ark of the Lord. But the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. So only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Here's the rest of the story in New Hampshire. So they set up their Dagon, their Baphomet, a year or so back. I'm not exactly sure when that was. But then comes along Christmas time, people set up the nativity scene. And the next day, just like in Scripture, after the ark was set there, but this kind of the next day after the nativity was there, the scene was set up, they came in and found the pagan deity Baphomet had toppled over. The next day, it had been put now, and they're searching for the vandals who did this. But the pictures show only the legs standing, with the head and torso toppled. My gosh! And the tablet that lists the Satanic Temple's seven tenets were cracked and with text missing. So in other words, all that's left of Baphomet was a stump. Just like all that was left of Dagon in the day and two after they put the ark next to him. And this is what happened exactly in New Hampshire. All they didn't have the ark, but they had a nativity scene. And the anointing that apparently comes with a nativity scene, God just did this thing, and he took out the pagan deity, Baphomet, and did it instead of a two-day thing like in Scripture. He did it in one day, taking the head, the hands are off, the head's gone, the torso's left. He's basically a variation of the stump, of which was all that was left of Dagon. You can't make this stuff up. You can't. Now, did this make the news? Of course not. Because of the message it sends. Baphomet is an idol, a statue to a satanic deity. And it can't hold together 24 hours just being in the proximity of a nativity scene. You know, I never get tired of the Christmas story, but it's something we relive each year. But isn't it nice to see that it is not just a ritual in some parts of Christianity? It's the living, breathing power of God in the moment that topples a satanic deity in New Hampshire just because that nativity scene will not be in the presence of a pagan deity, a satanic deity. And in fact, it must be destroyed. It was. And all of the seven tenets of the satanic temple are cracked or have meaningful texts missing. So, while the left, while the enemy is forever after removing the Word of God from our society, I find that in one fell swoop, God does a work in New Hampshire that removes the satanic word, or the critical elements of it, and at the same time, cut that sucker Baphomet right in half. You gotta love it. Okay, the good news had to end. We'll get to some good news at the end. But next, I need to cover this piece that really is, it deals with, oh man, this just, you know, all right, Ketanji Jackson Brown. I don't even really care what her name is anymore. I'm just going to call her what she is. And that is a loser of an enormous dimension. After all, Joe Biden's promise was, I'm going to have a black woman on the court. Well, how about setting up a racist, almost misandrist, actually, proposition or qualification? There aren't supposed to be those kinds of qualifications. In other words, he said, I'm going to do exactly that which in every other context is illegal under our Constitution. Well, so there's no shortage of black women. Probably some of them are great, but not Ketanji Brown Jackson. She's a loser, the one who couldn't define what a woman is because she's not a biologist. She was supremely and eminently disqualified with that answer. But to let you know what has been let onto the Supreme Court, consider this. The other night, she leaves D.C. and she goes to Broadway. She's got a gig on a Broadway show that she's just doing once. She shows up on stage last Saturday in her one and only appearance where she is strutting her stuff. They say she's dancing, she's singing, which by itself is maybe not a problem by itself, although that's not how we want to look at our Supreme Court justices as Broadway wannabes. I remember Bill Clinton when he played the saxophone on some late night show. I don't know if it was Johnny Carson or what. I thought, well, this is kind of weird. But and then Barack Obama sang, what did he sing, Amazing Grace sometime, one time or something. I'm not totally opposed to that. But consider where it was and what it was that she was doing. What she was appearing in was a Broadway play called And Juliet. It's not Romeo and Juliet. It's called And Juliet. It is a reimagined version of Romeo and Juliet where the lovers are queer. She appears in a lesbo production on Broadway. Maybe she is. I don't know. But she's in a lesbo production, And Juliet. This is our Supreme Court justice. Goodness sakes. Well, all right, moving along. I didn't want to cover this, but I have to, even though this is Christmas week. I don't know how this is going to end because I am recording this on Friday, the 20th, early a.m., and there still is not this spending bill in Congress that's been resolved. Trump got handed a defeat. He stepped in to save Mike Johnson's neck, who does not deserve to be saved. He's a weenie, a wuss, and yeah, he's supposedly a Christian, but goodness sakes, don't do a Mike Pence impersonation for us, Mike, or Mike. And it would seem to me that maybe his days are done as Speaker. He may be a good rep, but he's not. He's a horrible Speaker, as it's turning out. And so, as a result of all the back and forth, the bill went down to defeat with 38 Republicans gladly against it, and it's a smack in the face of Trump, who's ticked off. He's ticked off because the Republicans will not lift or remove the debt ceiling for a minimum of 2 years. In other words, remove the ceiling we have put on how much debt we will take on for the next 2 years. Because he knows the stuff he wants to do, he can't do without increasing the debt. Unless they really are serious about cutting the budget. Add your things, Donald, but not on top of the what we've got. Use the extra dollars to replace the dollars that we've saved. You know, we can't keep doing this. The answer, if you have a financial problem, the answer isn't getting more credit cards so that you can make the payment on one credit card with another one and thereby continuously increasing the debt and thereby increasingly deepening the financial hole in which you've placed yourself. And so, this bill, which you maybe have heard about, but it had what is 1,537 pages, which nobody had read. It was put together entirely by Mike Johnson. It's filled with all kinds of swamp crap and deep state pork, aid to Ukraine, congressional pay raises, none of which anybody knew about, and Johnson wanted to get this through to hold off a shutdown of the government. You're fired, Mike. I am so ridiculously disappointed with him. And honestly, on this particular issue, on this issue, I'm terribly disappointed with Donald Trump. The answer isn't to get more credit cards or expand our debt limit on the cards we have. No, we have to live within our means. I mean, there's two kinds of tyranny. I think it was John Adams that said something. I mean, there's one that comes from the king. The other one is public debt. You are a slave to debt. That's what Scripture says that. The borrower is a servant of the lender. And who's the lender here? China. They're the ones that buy all the notes that we issue. They know that they're going to own us. And it's just this just blows me away that Johnson would do this. I'm glad it went down in flames. Too bad for Trump if it's a smirch on him. I'm upset at him that because Chip Roy, who's otherwise a really pretty good congressman from Texas, said, I am not going to vote for anything that increases our debt. Same with Rand Paul, one of my favorite senators from Kentucky. No, no. Well, it's Christmas season. Okay. But you don't go out and spend money at Christmas time for presents, for money that you don't have. Let's just put Christmas on the credit card. We'll figure it out later. No, come on. These are our public stewards, supposedly. And they spend money like drunken sailors with only one apparent thought, and that is to how to keep some of their sorry rear ends in office. You see, Trump supposedly said, well, he did say, but he supposedly meant that he supports term limits, and so do I. Now I'm not so sure that he really does, but anyway, we'll see where that goes. Next, this is just plain intriguing. Because, all right, Matt Gaetz, we thought that he was kind of out of the news, right? Well, but he's come up with this idea, and it's as of today, this morning, he is seriously considering doing this, and maybe it's a subtle but unspoken threat to not reveal the House Ethics Committee report on the scandals he's been involved in, mostly sex issues. In fact, they're probably all that. And he admits that he was engaged in a lot of that. But what he said is that if they're going to do that, I'm going to do this. He didn't say that. But this is what he means when he said that he's thinking about doing the following, about showing up on January 3rd to Congress. Because while he's resigned from Congress, he actually was reelected. There wasn't a replacement for him. He's reelected. So he could go back to Congress. He said, I would participate in the speaker election. He said, after all, I've been legally elected to the 119th Congress. So he resigned from the 118th Congress. But he's part of the 119th Congress because he was elected, which would then apparently require that he resign again. He would take the oath of office. And then he said, then what I'd look at is filing a privileged motion. Now, I don't really know what a privileged motion is exactly, but I get the intent here. He said that will expose every Me Too sex payment. In other words, for the Me Too crowd. The women that who contended that they were sexually harassed by various House and Senate, or presumably in this case, just probably House representatives, to expose every Me Too settlement paid for by using taxpayer funds. Holy moly. This is kind of like Gaetz saying, you know what I think I'm going to do? They've announced that they're going to reveal the ethics report about me, but he doesn't say that. Everybody knows that they're planning to release the ethics report. But to simply say, without reference to that, I think that I should reveal to Newsmax and Fox the complete list of people who visited Pedophile Island, to Jeffrey Epstein and his minor girls that got basically statutorily raped. So he hasn't said that, but he doesn't have to make the connection for people to make the connection. I find this really intriguing. Will the ethics report come out? And it's going to be pretty scandalous if it does. Then what is he going to divulge? Or, heck, maybe he ought to just stay in Congress and run for Speaker to replace Mike Johnson. At least we would have somebody who's got some cojones on the right way instead of a eunuch like Mike Johnson. Nice guy, the supposed great Christian from, where is he, Louisiana, I think. But not a bone in his, totally spineless. Totally spineless. He's an amphibian. Okay, now, the next thing. I got to get through these things here. all these egregious pardons. Now, we talked about this last week, but I just need to add a few things to it this week. It's turned out to be a record number of pardons that have been done. And it's not just people who have been in commutations, a reduction in the sentence, of people who got life imprisonment with no choice of parole, no chance of parole, and maybe had it reduced to maybe another 5 years with chance of parole or something like that, and they've been there for 35 or 40 years. It's not those kinds of cases. If you look at the people that he has given a get-out-of-jail-free card, you got the guy who smuggled from some little town in the Midwest $53 million. $53 million. You got the woman who had murdered three people. Yeah, that's right, three people. You got Biden just yesterday releasing 50,000 more students from their student debt. This is a gargantuan giveaway by this loser called Joe No Brains Biden of taxpayer money. But he's had his head in the stinking government troughs since day one, so he thinks it's his. He's never made an honest dime in his life. He's a piece of crap. And I say that, of course, with all due respect. But that reminds me, when I was reading this, another thing. Some of the people that he's released are Chinese spies. Chinese spies. Well, that's who he's in bed with. He's got an incestuous relationship with China. And no wonder, how much is he getting paid under the table, like everything else? How did he be a mega millionaire as a senator? He's never had another job. I looked it up. When he started as a senator, his pay was $70,000 a year, and he finally got up to whatever, $200,000 as vice president. You don't amass millions and millions of dollars of money on that kind of salary. Decent living, yeah. But you're not wealthy. Not with somebody else's help or underhanded matters. He's scum. He's absolute pond scum. And yet, I'm looking at this passage. It came to me this morning from Luke chapter 16. I thought, oh my gosh, I think this is what's going on. This is a parable that Jesus tells about an unjust steward. There is the master who's got this steward who's to handle his financial matters, and he's been dishonest. The steward's been purloining the master's money, embezzlement, what have you. Who knows? It doesn't exactly describe how he's been cheating and stealing from his master. But he says, you know what? I can't go out. I can't go out and beg. I can't go dig dirt. That's what he says. Basically, I can't be a ditch digger. I got to do something. So what does he do? He goes out and he takes all of his master's debtors, well, not all of them, but a lot of them, and goes up and down the line. And he then says, look, you owe my master 100. Give me 50 and you're released. You're out. And he starts whittling, cutting down everybody's debt and collecting money, which presumably he turns over to the master. We don't know that, but that's not the point of the story. What does he do? He prepares himself through cheating the master to be received warmly on the outside when he's fired. It's exactly what Joe Biden is doing. So the guy that embezzled $53 million, how much does he get from this guy afterwards? Or from China for releasing the spies? Or from who knows what? It's just going to be another payday for a sleazebag known as President Joseph Robinette Biden. And in so doing, Joe has secured his place as the worst president, beating out Barack Hussein Obama. He secured his place as the worst president in U.S. history. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show here on Red Sky Radio.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you. 18 wheels and a dozen roses. 10 more miles on his 4-day run. A few more songs from the all-night radio. Then he'll spend the rest of his life with the one that he loves.
We are back. You know, I've had to check here even during the break to make sure there isn't some update on the drone situation in Maryland and now 11 other states. And there is a small update that happened real early dealing with an FAA ban on these drones in parts of New Jersey and New York, which actually is not heartwarming. It's actually only further implicating of what I believe is the federal government's involvement here. So, you know, you've got 13 states, you've got these drones all over the place. The government obviously has the ability to track these things from their point of origin, but they've been really, really purposefully disregarding public inquiry, which is legitimate, which then only makes us, of course, suspect the worst. So, Larry Hogan had out a video, and they contended that somehow what Larry Hogan was seeing were the stars in the constellation Orion. Well, that's interesting because I've seen some of the videos that are out there, and as far as I know, whenever I've looked at Orion, the stars have not been moving around in circular fashion and zigzagging and forming something far different than the constellation Orion. It doesn't have flashing lights, red and blue. They don't have their Orion does not come arise slowly or quickly from the east, off from offshore. The explanations are absolutely ludicrous for this, and it obviously to me would seem to indicate that since we're being told nothing. And the White House, the military, FBI, Homeland Security, they don't have any idea where they are, or what they are, where they've come from. These are their words. Don't know who's controlling them. Don't know where they've launched from. But then they can positively say they don't know anything about any of this, supposedly, where they came from, what they are, except they can try to assure us that they pose no national security threat and no threat to public safety. What is wrong in that statement? You don't know anything about it. Well, you do, but you're stating that you know nothing about any of these aspects of it, and yes, yet can certifiably state that we don't have any problems, there's no reason to be worried. What is it? Just ignore that man behind the curtain? Is that what this is? The FBI said that without a doubt, drones or unmanned aircraft systems have been seen over New Jersey, but it stated that they could be any of nearly a million registered UASs, which is unmanned aircraft systems in the United States. Well, guess what's the problem with that? Yeah, you got all these unmanned aircrafts all over the United States, but they aren't all showing up in New Jersey where that's not happening elsewhere. You got a gazillion of them on the East Coast. And it's not happening in North Dakota or Mississippi or New Mexico. So if everybody's got them, why is it only the people who got them in New Jersey are flying them and flying them, some of them seemingly in a formation? How stupid does this government think we are? Then to come out and say, I'm going to quote here, to date, we have no intelligence or observations that would indicate that these drones are aligned with a foreign actor or that they have malicious intent. We've not been able to locate or identify the operators or the points of origin. Come on. How can you talk out of both sides of your mouth unless you're just consummate liars and you think we are ridiculously stupid? Look, the people learned in this last election. Screw the mainstream media. They're going to lie to you. They're going to deceive you. And we knew that the mainstream media basically were agents of this federal government. And they think apparently they have 30 more days to pull the wool over our eyes. Chris Smith, Republican from New Jersey, said this is a very considerable danger. And in criticizing Alejandro Mayorkas, be glad when his sorry butt's gone, who said that the sightings do not present anything unusual. And the White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby, who said they are not a threat to the United States. But they don't know, or they won't say who they are, but what they really know, for a fact, is that they're not a threat. Smith said, how can anyone, he's speaking the obvious here, how can anyone speculate or issue assurances to thousands of people who have witnessed the drones that there is no threat? When you've got Ocean County Sheriff Michael Mastinardi states that based on the drones that they have and have used, he anticipates that they're traveling at roughly 60 miles per hour, which is much faster than the police drones, which go about 40 miles per hour, I guess. Another report that said that 50 drones were reportedly seen coming off the ocean, and that's been verified. So who's out in the ocean sending them on shore? These things need to be refueled. And understand that while I'm not sure that I accept the fact that there are some of them that are as large as a bus, there seems to be a fact that they, on the small side, they're somewhere between the size of a bathtub and an SUV. Now, I can tell you, I bought a drone as a present for a grandchild. It was actually something I wanted for myself. But I can tell you this, at least current within the last couple of years, you cannot go out and buy drones the size of a bathtub or a little larger than a bathtub, which would be about 7 or 8 feet, maybe very recently, but certainly not the size of an SUV. They have to be fueled. They can't hang around for half the night. They can't come in from the ocean unless they have a fuel source to get them. And where are they? If they're coming in from, where are they landing? So there's a couple of points here before I get to a conclusion. Number one, simply don't believe your government. Forget your government. If the government is saying one thing, unless it's a local news reporter telling you about an intersection to avoid because of an accident, and that's not even the government, but there's a police presence there on the scene, local police reports, okay, that part of the government, get it. But out of D.C., forget it. And number two, I think the point here is that there needs to be an issuance of an all-season drone permit so you can just shoot those puppies out of the sky. I know it's supposedly illegal. I think it would be fun. I was at a property that I owned. Don't have it anymore, but I was in the backyard, and somebody came over my backyard with a drone, only about 35 feet in the air, 30 feet above me, hovering over me. And it was still there, and I got it wasn't a real gun. I got something that looked like a gun, came out and pointed at it, and that sucker took off. Why is it that with these drones, whenever there is a laser focus on them, that they become a target of electromagnetic devices, that their lights go out, they go dark? Is that your Radio Shack? I think they went bankrupt. But is that your Radio Shack drone? Of course not. Those are the two points I have. But this came in just before I went on the air, that the FAA has come out and has put a ban on drones over parts of New Jersey and New York. Now, the question is obvious here. Why haven't you do this earlier? They've been a problem for air traffic everywhere they are, and for over a month. Why do you ban them now unless you can make it happen? So if putting the ban on, all of a sudden there are no drones in these areas, and there were some that were over Trump's home in Bedminster, New Jersey, over military facilities. Who's taking your orders? Is it you, federal government, giving yourself an order to make it look like, because you're in trouble here with the public, that you have to take control of the situation? Well, if the drones disappear, legitimate, innocent, home drone, not homegrown, home drone participants aren't going to know what exactly parts of New Jersey and New York are forbidden territory. Come on. The cat's out of the bag. Either way, if they all stop, then the government's involved in it. If none of it stops, then that tells us they really, truly don't know, and it's out of control, and they aren't doing their job. It's just really amazing. But this is just one of the many things that happen when you have a president who himself is an alien, basically. I mean, Biden is on planet Mars or on vacation in Delaware, and I'm not sure that he would know the difference between the two places. Okay, this is something I've been saying, certain people have been saying for some time. We've known that the media was lying like you can't believe, and they've been facilitators. The mainstream media are great facilitators of false information, whether it's all the back alley abortions, were set about 75 a year, but they said there were 75,000. They quoted a bunch of sources and say, well, it's widely stated that there are all these abortions when there weren't. And so this is what they've been saying about all of the Israeli-inflicted deaths upon Gaza's innocent people, and giving the death counts that Hamas reports. And then they all bring that, and then losers like AOC. I wonder I won't go there. It's a digression. All of these losers have been just touting as absolute facts when we've said all along, and now it has come out, and it is a fact, provable fact, that the numbers were enormously inflated in Gaza. And in addition to the deaths of Hamas, and probably some innocent people, a few, they also included all natural deaths and cancer patients in the data. In other words, people who had cancer who were going to be dying, hadn't died yet, were included among the dead, along with everybody else that died of natural causes, and that was all blamed on Israel. Jeez. Okay, well, all right, this is going to be a little rocky here, but I just got to cover it. The degree to which the left hates Christmas. Yeah, but before that, something, because we're coming up on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and notwithstanding the fact that it was overthrown, there's something that is pretty concerning that I need to share. We think that the left has been beaten back. The left routinely yells out and chants how their rights have been ripped apart. They no longer have rights to abortion and all of this reproductive care, knowing full well that you can't have an abortion unless you're pregnant. And if you're pregnant, you're not stopping your you've already reproduced. But, the brainiacs that Planned Parenthood hires, they're not concerned with the truth. They're concerned with money and death. Money gives control, and death is kind of their satanic marching orders. But here you go. Ready? Planned Parenthood is the top abortion provider in the United States. We all know that. But The abortions have increased 20% that they've performed in the last 10 years. Now, some of that was a, why was it going up before? I don't know, but they said abortions were going down. But the amount of abortions have gone up since the Supreme Court decision has tilted the statistic that there's a 20% increase in abortions in the United States. And they claim, the left claims they're losing their rights when in fact they're murdering more innocent unborn children than ever before. This is why Musk and Ramaswamy, I have got to follow through on a defunding Planned Parenthood. Cut it out. I remember doing this story about 5 years ago that they got $350 million from the federal government. Do you know what it is now under Biden? $700 million. Almost three-quarters of $1 billion goes to killing innocent unborn children. Well, people say, well, that's for other services. Well, let's get this. In this past decade, total services decreased 16%. Clients decreased by 30%. The Planned Parenthood facilities decreased by 25%. Donors have decreased 14%. No big deal because they doubled taxpayer money for killing children. Prenatal care, something they brag about, decreased 68%. Contraceptive services, which they brag about, decreased 40%. Cancer screenings plummeted 59%. Breast care, which did not include mammograms to begin with, dropped 62%. Pap tests decreased 60%. Adoption referrals decreased 22%. But the number of abortions hits an all-time high. A record 20% increase when there has been a massive drop in all the other supposed legitimate services of Planned Non-Parenthood. Massive drop in all these services. But a huge spike in abortions, and we fund it. There are a whole bunch of myths about Planned Parenthood. Myth number one, that it's all about health care. It isn't. Abortion, they say abortion is only a tiny fraction of what they do. No, abortion is what they do. I just read all the massive drops and plummets of all the legitimate and semi-legitimate services that they could provide, but that they aren't anymore. Myth number two, Planned Parenthood is one of the main places women go for prenatal care. Wrong. Less than 2% of all women of childbearing age seek female health care from Planned Parenthood. Less than 2%. Myth number three, Planned Parenthood offers mammograms. Lie. They don't offer any. Number four, a large percentage of women rely on Planned Parenthood for their health care. Well, I actually kind of covered that. It's a spinoff. For myth number five, if Planned Parenthood is defunded, women will have nowhere else to go. Lie. Because 98% of them are going somewhere already. They just go there to get the babies killed. Planned Parenthood's founder was just a product of her times, and the organization isn't racist. Lie. It's the most racist. They're eugenicists. I mean, Margaret Sanger hated blacks. That's right. That's what it comes down to. To Margaret Sanger, blacks were a disease, an insect in society that needed to be eliminated lest they reproduce and take over. That was her racist position, which was, interestingly, adopted entirely by Adolf Hitler. Number seven, Planned Parenthood is not political. That's myth number seven. Now they're about as political as you can get. So here's what it comes down to real quickly. Planned Parenthood kills how many unborn children? 1,076 children every day. That's 45 every hour. That's one dead child every 80 seconds. And you and I are paying for it. So you take And that would mean every 3 days, Planned Parenthood kills as many children in the womb as died in 9/11. Every 3 days. Okay, Christmas. It's not to us what it is to the Dems. I'm in Arizona. Democrats here in Arizona, out in Fountain Hills, which is a pretty conservative community, they were enraged, and they were using a forum in a community center to put up a Christmas tree. The Republicans put up the Christmas tree. I'm sorry. That's all it was, just a Christmas tree. Yes, they had Donald Trump flags in their Christmas tree, but it's a strongly Republican area. The Democrats, however, became enraged. And how do they want to celebrate Christmas? They celebrated Christmas by offering, this is just hard to believe, but I offered up a wreath in which on the inside of the wreath, they had the severed head of Donald Trump. A mask that was a severed head of Donald Trump inside the Christmas wreath. Maybe it just doesn't surprise me. Probably doesn't. But Christmas to us is something very, very different, isn't it? And I'm not saying to Republicans. I'm speaking to Christians here. Because we're finding out that there's a bunch of losers in the Republican side in Congress who Jesus would be embarrassed of. Because when it comes down to this abortion thing, which is so left-wing, the fact of the matter is, there's nobody who loved children like Jesus. He scolded his disciples for keeping them from him. He said, lead one of these little ones astray, you might as well have a millstone tied around your neck and be cast into the sea. In other words, he's saying, hey pal, there is going to be real hell to pay if you lead one of these little ones astray. Jesus said that to suffer the little ones to come unto him. Suffer meant to allow. It was an old King, it was a King James word meaning to allow. Of course, Hillary Clinton took that in a speech said, Jesus said to not let the little children suffer. What a loser. Kind of reminded me of Al Gore's favorite scripture, trying desperately to quote John 3:16. He accidentally quoted John 16:3, which talks about judgment upon those who knew neither the Father nor the Son. To this day, I laugh about that. But there's no more pro-life person that's ever walked on this earth than the incarnate God, Jesus Christ himself. Jesus gives life. He's not here to take it away. This is what the anti-Christmas crowd, the anti-Christian crowd, I mean, whether it's abortion, whether it's destroying children, genitals, whether it's euthanasia, which is spreading like crazy, they're all about death. Jesus is pro-life. He gives life. And he still does. He gave it, and he still gives it. He doesn't take it away. He was born to give life. He died to give life. And he was resurrected to give eternal life. I mean, know this about Christmas, and this is why it really is so important. Yeah, I got to tell you, I love the cultural customs of Christmas here in Arizona. I have to tell you, I still really, truly, truly miss about a 2-foot snowdrift in Michigan on Christmas Eve. And a Yule log in the fireplace. And all the stuff we did, making eggnog, growing up, making ice cream. We couldn't go anywhere because of the blizzard, but we didn't want to go anywhere. That's right where we wanted to be. I love all that. But the next day, I really love going to church and singing the Christmas carols, Christmas hymns. But know this about first and foremost about Christmas. Jesus had to be born for one reason. We celebrate the birth. But don't leave Jesus in a manger. If that's all he is to you in the manger, you've missed it. For this reason, he had to be born so that he could die. Right? Got to be alive to die. He had to start with birth. And he had to die to be raised from the dead. And he has to be raised from the dead for us to be able to be raised from the dead and to live with him eternally. So understand that Christmas could not possibly be more about life, both individually as with all these children, or eternal life. That's what it speaks to. It's why it drives the devil crazy, and it should make you crazy glad, crazy happy, crazy joyous. God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. Enjoy it with your family. Remember, sit tall in the saddle, because we ride for a brand. You know whose brand that is. It's the brand of Jesus Christ. We'll see you next week.